Last time I was with you was Pentecost Sunday, and we were thinking then about the Holy Spirit. It's very interesting that your verse for November is about the indwelling Holy Spirit. And I felt laid on my heart the subject of peace, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And if you want a little title for what we'll be considering in a few minutes, it's Peace in a Troubled World. Peace in a Troubled World. Just two little readings at this point. And first of all, in Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17 to the end of the chapter. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been like the sand, your children like its numberless grains. Their names would never be cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Leave Babylon. Flee from the Babylonians. Announce this with shouts of joy and proclaim it. Send it out to the ends of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. They did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He made water flow for them from the rock. He split the rock and water gushed out. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. And then in Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatians, well-known few verses in chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. It's lovely to see in that hymn the word peace comes in again. So it's lovely to feel we're all walking in the Spirit when it comes to our service together. Peace in a troubled world. I think the subject has laid on my heart, not just because the last time I was here we were talking about the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, but there is a tremendous amount of fear around, even amongst Christian people. And the antidote to fear is peace. I just want to remind you of two or three verses in different parts of the New Testament explaining this gift of fear. Of gift of fear, the gift of peace. And first of all, Jesus said in John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And here's the Lord speaking to his people just before he's going to be crucified. The disciples were very much aware that there was tension, uncertainty, fear in their hearts. And the Lord said, I'm going to leave you with a sense of peace that the world knows nothing about. The world won't give you this peace, but I'm going to give it to you. You'll be able to go right through whatever the future holds. And my peace will be within you, and you will not be troubled about whatever you have to face. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so not only is it a sense of peace within our own hearts that the Lord wants to give us, something that the world knows nothing about, but it brings us into a new relationship with God, peace with God. We're not afraid of meeting our Maker, or even of talking to Him and fellowshipping with Him. Wonderful sense of peace. And the other one that I'd just leave with you, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So here the apostle is actually saying, yes, this is part of what God wants to give you through the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, but you won't even understand how you can be so peaceful when all around the world is in a mess, is in chaos. And it's a gift from the Lord himself. It's brought you into a right relationship with your Maker. You have no fear of death or judgment or anything else like that, but you won't understand it. You'll just receive it and accept it. So that's a sort of by way of introduction. That's something, one of the gifts of the Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit, I should say, and it's something we very much need in these days in which we're living. It may be as we've come together, we are anxious about the future, we're anxious about the next energy bill that we're going to receive. We're worried about all sorts of things. But in a situation like this, as we have learned in our memory verse for this month, the Holy Spirit dwelling within our bodies, bringing these wonderful fruits, including this peace which comes from the Lord, nothing to do with the world, and which is beyond anyone's understanding. So let's explore this whole idea of peace. And there seems to be two ways in which we can look at peace, two ways that people have the idea of peace. One is what the world does have. And Jeremiah refers to this. He said they'll be saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. It's a false peace. We've, as I think most of you know, I helped to look after a young growing family, growing up, not growing bigger. And Callum in particular was off for 2 weeks for half term. Goes to primary school. He seemed to get more holiday than anyone else. Chloe, his sister, had just the 1 week. But Matthew, my godson, their father, he decided to take 2 weeks off as well. And, you know, so the house is full of people coming and going all the time, and they all went back to school last week. And I thought, oh, for a little bit of peace and quiet. And I'm sure you understand that feeling. That's the world's peace. And it doesn't work. Because you may think, there you are, they've all gone to school, they've all gone to work, or whatever it is. Now I can sit down and put my feet up, make a cup of coffee, read the paper. And what happens, as soon as you do that, the telephone will go, or there'll be a knock on the door, and somebody will take away any peace you thought you were going to have. That's the peace that the world does give. And it's a false peace, it's only skin deep, it really doesn't last. That's not the peace that we're talking about here, the fruit of the Spirit. The understanding of the peace that the Lord Jesus said he was going to give us that we won't even understand is the Jewish word shalom. I think that's a lovely sounding word, shalom. And it doesn't mean the sort of peace that is peace and quiet that I've just described. It's something which is holistic, it's internal, it's a condition, a state of our inside, if you like, our personality, our mind, our attitudes, our well-being. It means a completeness, shalom. It means that we are complete in every area, mind, body, spirit, and soul. That we have got that sense of being all together, completeness. It's a wholeness in every area of life. And that's the shalom. That's the meaning of the word shalom that the Lord said, I'm going to give you. You're not going to have one part of your life that's still struggling and is desperately upset and fearful and whatnot, and another part of your life has got it together. What I want for you, what the Holy Spirit is wanting to bring within you, the full fruit of the Holy Spirit, is that in every area of your life, there is this wonderful coming together, this wholeness, this completeness, this holistic well-being, this shalom. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to give us. And that's what we certainly need at any time, but particularly in a day like this. This is what the disciples needed facing Calvary and all the uncertainty. This is what the early disciples needed, the apostles, as they went out into a Roman world which was so anti anything they believed. That wonderful wholeness, that peace, that inner shalom. So I want to try to build up a picture of what shalom really is by looking at what breaks it down, what spoils it, what takes away that shalom. And very simply, it's barriers. It's when things get in the way. And we're going to look at three areas of barriers that can take away our peace of mind, our well-being, our shalom. First of all, there's horizontal barriers between us and God. And then vertical barriers between us and other people. But there can be circular barriers within us that takes away our sense of accepting ourselves. We're not happy with in our own skin. There can be barriers with our own personality or our own past or our own things that have happened within us. We're still grieving. We're still perhaps trying to find out who we are, trying to get to grips with why we're here and where we're going and so on. So I want to look at those barriers and just ask ourselves as we do so, as we're seeking peace in a troubled world, are the barriers still that are taking away our fullness of the peace that the Holy Spirit wants to give us, that shalom, that wholeness, that holistic oneness? So, first of all, the horizontal barrier that can be between a person and God, and that's what the world has. You know, I said this here before, I'm sure, when people say, oh, I don't believe in God. And my response, if anybody says that to me, is, well, that's nonsense, because you don't know enough to know whether there's a God or not. You're not clever enough to know that. Even the greatest minds don't even know where life came from. Your problem is you don't want to believe in God. You've got no interest in finding out. You don't want to know whether anything about God. It's an act of your will, not your mind. And people have got this tremendous barrier in accepting the Almighty, because they don't want somebody in authority over them. I remember many years ago at Emerald Chapel when we were got a large youth work there and Sunday school and so on. And we used to take the kids away camping and whatnot. There was one lad, he started in our Sunday school when he was 4 years old. And a lovely fellow. And he went right through the Sunday school, junior youth club, senior youth club. And it wasn't me talking to him, actually. It was one of our co-workers. I think we were on a camp. And they were just having a quiet time. And Rosie said to this fellow, you know, why have you never accepted Jesus? And I suppose he was about 16, 17 at the time. And Nigel, his name was, just said very simply, I want to be in charge of my own life. I don't want somebody telling me what to do. He said, I do like your lifestyle. And he says, I'm not an unbeliever, but I just don't want somebody running my life. And I thought that was very perceptive. That really shows where people are. They've got a barrier between them and God. And as we saw in Romans 5 verse 1, we've been justified by faith and we have peace with God. When we just recognize our need of sin, of a Savior because of sin, and repent and come in faith to the Lord Jesus and accept that he died for us on the cross of Calvary to take away all our guilt and punishment and to give us a free pardon, immediately we have peace with God. We don't have any fear. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Peace with God, the barrier's gone. And one of the greatest things is to be able to have that wonderful peace with our Maker, to know that we walk with him and talk with him along life's narrow way. And that our greatest desire, and it gets greater as we get older, is that we're going to behold his face. We're going to see his glory. We're going to stand in his presence. We're going to cast our crowns before him. We can't wait. Well, I'm speaking for myself. Can't wait to behold the glory of God. Not through spiritual reality, but through physical sight. Our eyes shall behold his glory. And yet the tragedy is, you know, talking about these horizontal barriers between us and God, even as Christians, even if we've known the joy of that barrier being removed and peace with God, as we go on through the Christian pathway, we can put little barriers back between us and God. We don't always accept what God is doing in our lives. We're not always happy with the way he's leading us. Sometimes we can get quite angry with God. We can get a little bit upset. Or sometimes we can say, well, I don't know what God's up to in my life, and almost try to pretend that, you know, we're not even asking him because there's a barrier. I wonder if any of us this morning got an issue with God about what he's done in our lives. Things that have happened that we would rather not happen. And yet we say, well, you know, my times are in his hand and all things work together for good and he must be in control. And there's a hesitancy. There's a new sort of barrier beginning to emerge between us and the acceptance of the Lord and his will. And as he said to Jacob in that reading we had in Isaiah 58, only you'd have accepted me, my peace, my ways, my will. Oh, you would have been blessed, but you knew better, and you went away from me, and the barriers are there, and there is no peace for the wicked. The barrier between you and me remains. And so, for each one of us, it's not just when we come through salvation into a peace with God. It's accepting his guidance, his will, his leading of us, his will for us day by day. He knows what he's doing. He's completely in control. We're still his children, and he's still our Father, and he knows best. And then secondly, we've sometimes got these vertical barriers between us and other people. And I don't think you need me to tell you, if you're at odds with somebody, particularly somebody close, there's no real peace in our lives. There's no real shalom. It's a niggling thing that goes on and on. And it never leaves us. And we're not what we ought to be. I remember once, and I don't know whether I've ever given you this illustration here before, but many, many years ago, I was working in it was a Christian outfit. It was an investment company. And we employed a couple, Christian couple, lovely couple. They'd just come to know the Lord. And they come to know the Lord through the charismatic movement. Now, I don't hold that against them in any way at all, so please, I'm not saying it for that reason. But you understand that particularly adults that come into the into the kingdom with that. They're very much impressed with the excitement, with the buzz, with the things that happen. And Rob and Yvonne were their names, and lovely couple, Welsh couple actually, but they were full of the joys of the Lord. Anyway, one Monday morning, came into work. They both worked for the organization, and they'd had a wonderful weekend, marvelous weekend. You know, they were full of it. It was a job to sort of pull them down from the lights, and you know, being brought up in a more conservative mode. That's nice. Yeah. Anyway, I just sort of passed it, and I had work to get on with. Anyway. So did they. And that happened, and I didn't forget it, actually. And eventually I left that organization. They did. I don't know where they are now, and this is many years ago. But I suppose it must have been a dozen years after that, probably 10, 11, 12 years. Phone goes one day, and it's Yvonne on the phone. I could immediately tell by her Welsh lilt. Hello, Yvonne. It's great to hear from you. You know, how are you doing? How's Rob? And after the quick preliminaries, she said, David, I've rung up to ask for your forgiveness. My forgiveness? What have you done to me? She said, well, that, and she referred to that Monday morning when they came in very full of excitement for some conference or whatever it was. And I'd sort of, in her mind, poured cold water on their excitement, you see, by not being sort of as excited as they were. Oh, she said, I thought terrible things about you then. She said, I really thought, you know, you were not in the spirit, and you were, and she said, I really felt bad thoughts, and it comes back to me from time to time, so I'm ringing up to ask for your forgiveness for thinking bad thoughts about you. I said, you have my forgiveness. I didn't even realize that it had happened that way. In turn, I ought to apologize then that maybe I wasn't more interested in what you were expressing that day. So anyway, that was sorted out. One or two more sort of pleasantries. And then she said, I must go now. I've got a whole list of people I've got to ring like this. She was having a spiritual clear out, trying to get rid of these barriers. I'll give you a far more, that was important, but even more important to me anyway, example of this. And I'm going to mention names, because I think the man involved does need the credit for what he did. Back in the early 90s, I was asked to do a special weekend of meetings at Street Baptist Church. And they had quite a few problems. Their pastor there was Peter Laws. Some of you may remember him. And it was a Saturday evening, all day Sunday, Monday evening and Tuesday evening. And they asked me to bring some word from the Lord for the church, because they were in a little bit of a difficult time. It was before the Harvest Church breakaway happened. On the Sunday, I know I was preaching about the need for living in the power of the Holy Spirit more. It wasn't over the top, but that was my ministry, and I just felt there was the need for that particular thing. I felt that on my heart. On the Monday evening at the Bible study that evening, which was part of this special weekend, Peter interrupted me halfway through the sermon. Don't get big ideas this morning, by the way. So he interrupted me, and he said, David, I don't know where this is going. He said, but I don't agree with it at all. So I sort of tried to just say, well, this is the way my argument is going. Well, all right, then. Apparently he got in trouble with his deacons after that meeting, but I didn't know that at the time. And the Tuesday evening, the following evening, which was the last evening, we had a good time. It was many years afterwards. I had a letter one day from Peter Laws. He said, David, I want to apologize to you profoundly for what I did to you that evening. He said, it's been on my heart ever since, and I never have done anything about it. He said, by this time he was retired, living in the South Coast somewhere. And he said, last Sunday, we had a sermon about putting right past wrongs. And he said, I knew I had to write to you. Do you know, I really appreciate that man doing that. And in my reply, I said, well, Perhaps I wasn't at all clear in what I was saying that night, so I apologize if it wasn't me clear. But both Yvonne, the first example, and Peter, the second, they needed to get rid of the barriers that were taking away their peace. We got any issues that we need to be willing to forgive or to say sorry, to lower the barriers that's taking away our shalom, that's spoiling the relationships with other people. One of the greatest needs we have are being willing to forgive and willing to say sorry. So these vertical barriers as well. And then finally, these circular barriers within. And you know, it's so easy to have internal problems about ourselves that we've never really taken to the Lord to sort out. I think of David, King David. That lovely Psalm 23. I almost preached on that this morning, but I left it. The Lord is my shepherd. Here's a young man, quite early in his life, on the hillside. And he says, when everyone else fails, I have the Lord. One thinks of his life. You know, if ever we get down into the depths of despair, and we turn to the scriptures, very often we'll turn to one of David's psalms, because he seems to plumb the depths, he seems to understand. Even as an older man, O Lord, search me. Why am I still consumed with anxieties deep within? It's very interesting to see the early life of David. When he was just the youngest of those eight boys, and Samuel comes to town and says Jesse and his family must be at the feast. And Samuel knows he has to anoint the next king. And before the meal, Samuel says, well, I'm going to do what God has sent me to Bethlehem to do. Jesse, please come out here and bring your boys. His eldest seven sons all lined up. And Samuel says, well, this is filing kingly material in front of the older one. The Lord says, no, you're looking at the outside, I'm looking at the heart. No, not this one. And Samuel goes right down the line, all seven. And then in some sort of confusion, he turns to Jesse and says, are these all your sons? Oh, no, says Jesse. We got the kid. Oh, where is he? I told you to bring all your sons. Oh, he's looking after the sheep. One of the greatest events in that family's life, and David isn't even invited in. Just after that, his father sends him to three of his older brothers who are fighting in Saul's army nearby, fighting the Philistines, with some provision from home, cheese sandwiches. Well, bread and cheese sandwiches. And you'd think in the army you'd be pleased to get food from home, but what sort of reception did David get from his brothers? You wicked boy, get back to those sheep. Listen to Psalm 27. Even if my mother and father reject me, I will still turn to the Lord. He knew all about rejection. And rejection is one of the biggest creators of internal barriers. Isn't it interesting? The way sometimes we have problems in our adult lives, we can trace right back to something in childhood. Rejection, inferiority, lack of love. I mean, what's happening in the world today? The barriers that are being created in the lives of so many kids today. And it makes me so angry. And, you know, what are we storing up for the future? But we're talking about ourselves here this morning. We got problems with accepting ourselves. We're not happy in our own skin. There are things which constantly worry us. The danger is, sometimes we can end up by being very secure in our insecurities. It defines who we are. It's molded our personalities, and we're not going to have anything done about it. I give my peace to you, says Jesus. You won't even understand it, but it's a peace that can heal the deepest inner hurts, the things that can remove all of those trials. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, they are a new creation. The past is gone, the new has come. Dear Christian friend, if we still got hang-ups from the past, who we are, things about our personality that we haven't even accepted about ourselves. They've made a barrier. They've taken away our shalom. Then we give it to the Lord and say, Lord, with the Apostle Paul, we say, he loved me and gave himself for me. I'm loved by God, just as I am. I don't need to add to it. I certainly need the Lord to take away all the dangers, all the barriers, all the things that have spoiled me. Peace in a troubled world. The Lord wants to remove all the barriers. We have to play our part. We have to be willing to let him. But as we are entering into more troubles, times when the Lord has told us, I believe they apply to our days, men's hearts will fail them for fear of what is happening on the to the world. We have to show there's true peace, the peace that only Jesus can give, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that helps us to walk with God. May that be your portion in these days, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing this peace in a troubled world into our lives, for Jesus' sake. Amen. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've called us to a wonderful, wonderful life, the life of faith, where the Holy Spirit will give us all we need as we allow him to work to sanctify our lives, to prepare us for that moment when we shall behold the glory of the King. Father, we just thank you then for your time with us today. We ask, Lord, for your parting blessing. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us now and forevermore.